There are two halachas in Parshat Naso that are juxtaposed one with each other. The Chazal asks the question, which they often ask, is what's the connection between the two? We have the halacha of the sota, the woman who is accused of being unfaithful to her husband, and she goes through the process of either showing her innocence and or guilt by drinking from the special waters in the Beis HaMikdash with a whole ceremony. And then we have the law right after that of a nazir, of a person who takes a vow for a minimum of 30 days not to drink wine, not to cut his hair or her hair, etc. If we take a look at source number one, we see this. This is the law of the jealousies, when a woman should go astray with someone other than her husband and become defiled, or of a man over whom passes a spirit of jealousy and he warns his wife and he causes his wife to stand before Hashem, then the Kohen shall carry out for her this entire law. The man will be innocent of iniquity, but that woman shall bear her iniquity. Right afterwards we have, beginning of Perek Vav, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, a man or woman who shall disassociate himself by taking a Nazarite vow of abstinence for the sake of Hashem, from new or aged wine shall he abstain, and he shall not drink vinegar or wine or vinegar of aged wine. Anything which grapes have been steeped shall he not drink. So the question the Chazal ask is, what is the connection? Why do the laws of Nazir immediately follow the laws of the Sota? This teaches that a person who witnesses the disgrace of a Sota should take a vow of abstinence from wine. In the Hebrew, source number 7, Rabbi Amar Lama Nisbecha Parshat Nazir LeParshat Sota Lomar Lecha, to teach you, Shekol Haraya Sota Bekeukula Yazir Atzmo Min Hayai. We have a tremendous amount of questions that we can ask on this statement. First, the Drash Dovi. At first glance, this Gemara's assertion is highly puzzling. Why should a person who witnessed the degradation of a sota need abstain from wine, a measure that's undertaken to minimize the likelihood of sin? Should the spectacle of the sota's punishment itself be sufficient to deter him from sin? In general, the Torah implies that even the publicizing of sinner's punishment is sufficient to discourage others from sinning. As the pasuk states in Devarim, all of Israel shall see and be afraid. How much more should actually witnessing the punishment of a sinner serve as a deterrent? If just hearing about a punishment, that should be enough of a deterrent. Person who sees an isha sota, right, her thighs collapse and, you know, she turns all these different colors, and it's pretty much of a zazua. It's a very intense experience. Would that not stop anybody from sinning? Why would it then be incumbent task upon these people to do something, to abstain from wine? Furthermore, continues Drash David, Chazal do not state anywhere else that a person who witnesses a punishment that befalls another Jew must take steps to shield himself from temptation. What is the logic behind this? Rav Druk adds to this, I would say that, again, this is a deterrent enough. One who didn't see the sota and only heard about it, they should abstain from wine, not someone who saw it. And Rav Kaufman adds to this, we know the Ramban, source number 6, says, Ala onesh b'farash b'parsha sota, ein b'chol mishpatei ha-Torah davar tavlui b'neis, zulti ha-inyan hazeh, shu pele b'neis, kavu she'aseh b'Yisrael. This is one of the singular experiences where you see it's clearly a miracle. So he says, v'im kein l'char sh'rei shu'ti nisim gluim v'ruim k'elu, if a Jew would see such clear signs, this is like, you know, Hashem knocking at your door. Obviously, you're going to stay away from sin. Why would he need to have this extra taking away from wine? And again, the logic behind specifically the wine is what the article points out, that a sota opted to follow her sensual passions in source 2 and let her heart overpower her mind, her pursuit of pleasure to overcome responsibility to God, and therefore her experience was proof that people easily prey to temptation, and therefore the person says, you know what, I better be careful as well and stay away from wine. And again, the question begs itself, is not the visceral viewing enough to have a person stay away from wine. And our final question, or two more final questions, one final question on this and then another question, is the language of the Gemara, Shekol HaRoesh Sotab Gilgula, everyone. Everyone has to become a Nazir. What is Kol? Right? Anyone who sees it. Anyone. The Kohen Gadol, the Kohen, anyone who sees it. How do we understand this? And our secondary question, which we also have to touch on, which is a question in its own right, is a Nazir something positive or not? On the one hand, a Nazir is called, you know, someone who's Kadosh, someone who's holy to God. On the other hand, a Nazir is called a Chote, a sinner. So, according to this, it would seem that Nazir is very positive. You see, you know, you want to take extra steps to maintain your standards of purity. So it would seem that the Nazir is a positive thing, and yet we see that it's not so clear that the Nazir is a positive thing. How do we view Nazirus in general? Okay. Well, we'll see, my friends, from this little statement, nothing's little, the statement of Chazal, that the two are juxtaposed, that one who sees the Sota in this state should stay away from wine. We're mamish looking at, like we always do, my friend, mamish fundamental ideas in Yiddishkeit that apply to us, albeit we may not have Naziris today because we don't have Korbanos to get you out of it. All right, so it's not supposed to be a Nazir. And we don't clearly have an Isha Sota today. Irrelevant. What is relevant is the Torah is Nitzchi, the Torah is eternal, and the lessons that we learn from this apply to each and every one of us, each and every one of these lessons, and we need to understand them, and we're going to have a very exciting journey. Before we begin, I'd like to point out, before we take a look at the many different levels, that this idea that Shekol HaRoesh Sotab Gilgula Yazir Atzmo Min HaYayin, just on the most basic level, can be understood on two levels. One, and that is the most common level, is source number 10, the Rambam, who says, Mishu bal chema omrim lo lanhig imo, shim huka v'kulal lo yirgish klam. The general approach in midos, building midos, is to go to the opposite extreme until you hit the middle ground. That's the famous Rambam. So a person who, let's say, is a person of anger, he should go to the extreme that someone could beat him up, someone could curse him, and he won't respond at all. When you do this long enough, that it's going to uproot anger from you completely, and then you go back to the middle. If you find yourself on one end of the spectrum, go to the end of the other end of the spectrum, until you're able to the middle level. And this is indeed how the Birkas Mordechai understands this Rambam, is from our source right here. Ask the Birkas Mordechai in the middle of 10, why should he abstain completely from wine? Perhaps he should just diminish the amount of wine? No. We learn from here, she'ein la'kor tashpa rak ma'shara'a itol sota, ela she'akminu ad l'katzeh, l'chein yazir davka, v'rach achar kech yazir al-mamutza. We see from the language of Chazal, yazir atzmo min hayayim, that you have to become a nazir means that you go to the extreme. And when you go to the extreme, then you can come to the middle ground. Why? So he says, kevan she'ikara koshi b'akira midah, eina mechamad etzem hamidah shunatunba, elo b'ikar mishum shitragel shunatun shavui etzlo. Hergel natun shavui etzlo. The problem, he says, with the midah is not so much the midah, but we've habituated ourselves toward it. And if I'm used to doing something over and over again, I'm just going to fall back into that habit. The example that he gives is getting ready for Shabbos. Shabbos can be at 4:10, and Shabbos can be at 7:10, and we're still going to the wire. Why? Because we've habituated ourselves that I have until Shabbos starts to get ready, and therefore I'll do many different things, and then, you know, go to the end wire. Because we're creatures of habit. So therefore, in order to break the habit, and in this case, to break the habit of a negative midah, you have to go to the extreme, and then come into the middle. That's one approach of understanding Yazir Atzmo Min HaYayin. Rav Sacks, the Menachem Sion, brings a different approach. And he says, no. He says, when it says Yazir Atzmo Min HaYayin, it's not necessarily that you have to actually go to that extreme. But rather, in source 8, when he sees a woman who's behaving this way, which is a result, oftentimes, of excessive drinking, so no, you don't drink as much wine. To be a complete nazir is a chait. That you want to. So what he's saying is that a person should, when they see a sota in this state, they should take upon themselves safeguards that they should reach this level. So according to the Menachem Sion, the safeguards is to step away a little bit. You don't have to go to the extreme like the Rambam, but a little bit is enough. Ah, so what's the connection between the two sections? He explains that both of these sections are extremes that we should not look toward, right? According to the Rambam, to be a Nazir would be Kadosh. According to this approach, the Nazir is a Chota. And what we're saying is that both extremes are no good. One extreme is a woman who's indulging or overindulging in temptations. That's not good, right? Al tavi rasha harbe. Don't be too much of a rasha. And also, al tzavi harbe. The other extreme is to be a nazir, which is to completely take away all pleasures of this world. And that's also not good. As the Yerushalmi says, that we're held responsible, atira adam litain din, in the asterisks in 8, v'cheshbon akoma sharataino v'lo chamimeno, anything that you saw and did enjoy. So here we see that what the juxtaposition is to say to us is that balance is very important. Why are the two put back to back? To show you that it's not good to live on the levels of extreme. Both are not what we're aiming for. What we're aiming for, balance. As a Rav I know here says, the only place you need to be extreme in Judaism is extremely balanced. And there's a lot of truth to that. So this is perhaps not pshat in the Chazal. This is not how we're going to understand pshat. But I'm just bringing this down. That Yetziras Bo Min HaYayin isn't completely. It is just a little bit more to be able to reach a balance. Only if you can't reach a balance, if something wrong with you, then you have to go to the extreme. Okay, we're going to look at the normative view, like the Rambam, that when we're talking about Yazir, Svomin, Ayayin, Yisvamish should take upon themselves as the oath of being a Nazir. And the question is, again, wouldn't it make more sense if a person didn't see it than if a person saw it? Let's take a look at quite a number of explanations, and they're very exciting. Explanation number one is based on a very, very fundamental Rav Dessler. Source number 11. The pasuk in Hosea, last pasuk in Hosea says, Ki yisharim derechei Hashem, v'tzadikim yachubam poshlim yikashlubam. The end of the pasuk says that the ways of Hashem are straight, the righteous will walk on these ways, and the sinners will stumble on these ways. Darchei Hashem, what are the ways of Hashem? Hein drachav binaguto banagato kefi shenitnu lanu lasigo. The Darchei Hashem, the ways of Hashem, are the ways we apprehend, the way Hashem interacts with us. Kol ma shemakia lasagatenu, everything that reaches our world, our senses, mikol asovevetenu, all that surrounds us. Ben asagot asecha, whether it's something that is intellectual, no, I comprehend and I understand. Uben asagot achushim, something I feel, that I taste, that I see, that I hear. Shluchei Hashem heima, they are sent directly from Hashem. Ulashem limud nitnu lanu, and we're here to learn from them. Kol drachav yitbarach banagato, everything Hashem does. Siyata dishmaya hein bishvilenu kedei lilmod lanu darchei emet, to teach us the ways of truth. And our challenge is to take this, right, these experiences, everything that I hear, everything that I see, everything that comes within my Dalet Amos, and be able to grow from it, to be able to learn from it. It's like a walking laboratory of life. If I understand this, my friends, so I can appreciate what the Arezal Tzvatenu quotes as the following, where he says, Me'achar shizimnu lo 13 min ha-shamayim ma'orozeh, the fact that you happen to be in the Beis HaMikdash at that very moment, you were bringing a korban, you were whatever, bringing mice of sheni, lo mishaneh, you were in the Beis HaMikdash when this happened. Ze'lo davar reku, this is not by accident. Ella lasiro kilapeta chatat roveit ve'yavzirat shmo l'kadesh atzmo. Avulule shirau lo kilkul mishmaya amrilo dayecha v'ashasrat torah v'nikra chotet. When you're becoming a nazir because you saw something, that's a nazir which is a kadosh. Why? Because you yourself have, as we'll discuss right now, something within you that needs to be fixed, that Hashem has shown you this experience. And this is a wake-up call for you to change. That's a kadosh. Had this not happened to you, and you still wanted to become a nazir, that would be a chotet. That's the distinction between the two. Valterich Zay continues in 14, No Dab Hashem Baal Shem Tov. This is really based on the ideas of Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Shekol Maaseh Ra'iyah V'Shmi'ah Shenitzanu Lo La'adam. Everything that we hear and see, Yesh Lo Lomod Mimenu Harab Avodas Hashem. You have to learn from it in Avodas Hashem. It's a famous story of the Rav and his students who are going on the journey. And Goy's hay fell off, and they said to the Goy, the non-Jew, said to the farmer, said to this rabbi and his disciples, can you help me lift the hay? And they said, we can't. And he said, it's not that you can't, you don't want to. And then they learned from that the hay is the letter hay, not only the hay of the animals, right? The letter hay of Hashem, that we can lift the letters of hay of Hashem, which is elevating the sparks down here, whatever that may mean. We don't want to. They're able to listen to every single thing that happens. Rav Schwab brings down in one of his footnotes in his commentary on Eov. He says that when he says something to somebody and they say, excuse me, I didn't hear you, he knew that that was not the way it should be said, and he would say it differently. Things that occur, if normally people understand what you say, if they don't, and there's a reason for that. This is someone living at a pitch of being able to take every experience and being able to learn from it. I think about this sometimes when I press send on an email, and normally it's sent. And if it doesn't send, I try to recheck the email. Should I add a line? Should I take something away? Because again, when something like this happens, sarachiyun. V'nira be'roshu kein batko min ha'shamayim v'lo l'chinam nithanein lo ma'isis e'lo b'shol she'shol she'chud kol she'ilin yanzeh. The fact that he witnesses means he has some connection to this experience. And he says this is the idea of, you know, when the rabbis would go to a kid and say, Psokli psukkecha, teach me your pasuk that you're learning. And they would connect it to whatever's going on. You see this by Mordechai at Tzadik, the Medrash of Megillat Esther. These were people who understood, we not necessarily on this level. This is the type of pasuk that nothing is by accident. So what does this mean, that this person has some type of sin that he has to yasir etzvo min ha'yayin? So it's a very famous story that a lot of Mefarshim quote. I quoted here in 15 for the Mishnah Shemin of Klofmanzel. Once the Baal Shem Tov saw a Jew who was Mechal Shabbos, who desecrated Shabbos. And he was very upset by this. And he said, obviously, they showed me this from heaven, a Jew desecrating Shabbos, because I must have a similar sin. Listen to this. He went through in his mind all of the Shmirah Shabbos in his lifetime, and he could not find any place where he was Mechal Shabbos. Whoa. And then he remembered that once he was by a certain situation, and he saw Bizayon of Tamid Chacham. He saw Tamid Chacham being, spoken in an improper way, and he was quiet. And we know that a Talmid Chacham is compared to Shabbos. So we understood that he saw Chilul Shabbos because even though his problem was a Chilul Shabbos, it was something similar. It was a Talmid Chacham, was compared to Shabbos, a scholar. And therefore, he's being rebuked. Ki'im nizdamein la'dam l'rov d'et asota b'kukula. The asterisk in 15. Harei yesh b'kach siman shegam hu lakui b'inyan zeh. Hagam pigamuat, even if it isn't in the same way. Maybe he hasn't overindulged, but for him, he has indulged too much in the physical world. That Hashem is saying, you saw this because I want you to take a lesson that you refrain from pleasures of this world for a certain amount of time. And indeed, notes the Tiva Torah, top left 16, Limud Gadol Shanukan. This is a basic idea for all of us. Shekol ma shadam ro'e alav l'kacha musar eskel. Whatever we say, we have to learn from. Ki adam tzarich l'dad shekol davar v'adam v'davar shashem marelo k'dei l'orer oto l'tiv masav. Everything we see is meant for us to improve our ways. According to Magid and Mesrich, Sukhotei Yagin Elenu Klal Gadol, that everything a person sees or hears or it happens to him is coming la'orer, to awaken them, whether it's times of love or awe. So he says, for example, you see a car accident, or you hear about a terrible tragedy. Why did you hear about this? Why were you privy to witness this? All of this is in order for us to make ourselves better. And he teaches the Pasuk, the Dan in 16, very beautifully. Hocheach tochiach et amitecha v'lo tisa lavchein. What does it mean you should surely rebuke your friend? When you rebuke your friend, rebuke yourself as well. V'lo tisa lavchein. Don't put all the sin on him, but recognize that you also have a part of this sin, that you also, if you're witnessing this, you have some area that you need to improve on. Which leads us to a very important insight that the Eish Tamid brings down in 17. He says, "B'tosefta ita, haroe over avera nitchayev lerot." If you see a sin, it means that there's something in you that needed to see that sin. You have some type of connection. And likewise, haroe ose mitzvah zocha lerot. And if you see a mitzvah, you are worthy to see it. It means that you're holding on a level that you're zocha for a mitzvah. Wow. So we see that either you're shayach to the Oso Aveira or you're shayach to the Oso Mitzvah. And the Chazon Yecheskel adds, Klomar nitchayev aydei eizachet shechata shireh over Aveira lafech bosei mitzvah, ulehevet bosei mitzvah. If you see someone doing a mitzvah, it means you have some connection to that mitzvah. And if you see someone doing an Aveira, you have some connection to that Aveira. And he notes here in 18, Yisod gadol amdunu chazabuzet. Notes the Eish Tamid from Somer Druk Shlita. What you see is very much where you're holding. Where your heart is, that's what you're going to see. And that's why he tells of a maisa. Rav Moshe Feinstein that was once asked by somebody, can he walk down a certain street and be mahar here and think words of Torah, because there's a lot of pritzos on the street. A lot of people aren't dressed appropriately. And Rav Moshe turned to him and said, I don't know what you're talking about. I walk down the street all the time. I haven't seen any of what you're describing. Right? Where a person is holding, where one person sees it, another person doesn't see it. Because one person is holding it a certain place, another person isn't. One person needs to see it, another person doesn't. So it's not necessarily true that two people are standing and seeing the exact same thing. Two people can walk down the same street day after day. One can see this and one can't see this. One's holding there, one's not holding there. One needs to see this, one doesn't need to see this. And if one doesn't need to see this, they won't see this. And that has to be the fundamental understanding of what we're talking about here. And that, my friends, in summation of this idea, Ki davar mo katuv kan 19. Be'etzem ze sharat chavero ve'avara ve'ze gufa mochia ki gam lo be'atzmo. Ishna sheichu lo ve'ra kilu hayahu atzmo metukan b'ze lo hayaro et chavero be'kokalazu. If you were perfected yourself in this area, you wouldn't have seen your friend there. So idea number one. Why is it that the person who sees the sota in this state, they should separate themselves from wine? Shouldn't they not just seeing this be enough? No, that's the whole point. If they saw it, it means that they, to some extent, are guilty of the same sin. So dafka, when they see it, they have to be separate themselves from wine. Not someone who hears about it, or someone who hears about maybe on a lesser level that they need to hear about it. But dafka, if you see something, it means that you were meant to see this. And if you were meant to see this, it means that you have something in you that's connected to this. And therefore, specifically that person who sees it needs to separate themselves from wine. And the Musar Haskel, the lesson obviously for us is that whatever we experience is because we need to experience this thing. And whatever we see, whatever we hear, whatever we experience, there's a reason for this. And we need to introspect and we need to ask ourselves, both in the positive, I saw a mitzvah, wow, I'm actually have a connection to this mitzvah, it's exciting. As well as lo'aleinu, the opposite. That's approach one. Approach number two. We have a few. Datraga. נמצאים לומדים מכאן עד כמה צריך להיזהר מכל דבר חטא וקלקול, ואפילו מדבר קטן מראייה אחת חטופה באיסור. Every single thing that we experience, even the smallest thing, has an impact on a person. And a person says, oh, it's something so small, it's not going to impact me. No. Because when we're talking about in Ruchnias, afilu davar katan mashpia, in spirituality, everything affects and can have a great, long-lasting effect and change a person's life. And we don't need to go too far, my friends. We've seen in today's day and age how many stories of a kid, 8, 10 years old, who sees something on the internet that's inappropriate, and they go downhill from there, and they become addicted, and we have all these problems. We know it. But they only saw something for a brief moment. V'chein lehefech l'tova, kol tosefet shechizut beruchnius, and every positive thing, in Torah, and avoda, breaking our mitzvos, everything small adds up. But we have to realize that the small things are also important. And that's what we have to understand here. Klomar, b'sha'ash mevazim manishim ota bazara le'im kol, when they are embarrassing her and making her go through all of this in front of everyone, kol l'rabota kulam, even the Kohen Gadol, even the great tzaddikim, kol l'ra'eh, everyone, wherever you are holding, has to realize that I've seen this and it's going to impact me. Sarich l'takeis etza l'chapeis derech ech l'dor tatzmo v'lasot siyagim shalot v'vodidechei. When you see a sin, you have to say, this sin is impacting me, and I have to make sure that I am going to do things that are going to create whatever it is, siyagim, fences in my own life, that I shouldn't fall into this level as well. And this is how the Yakud Lekach Tov, quoting Rav Rubin, explains, where he says, when a person sees a sota b'kilkula, you have to understand that this woman didn't reach this level overnight. It happened slowly. Elishatatami darka at at. She, you know, went off the path slowly. Achigil shafela madraga. She started out as a beautiful woman. It could have been a little bit too much wine and kiddush. It could have been too much here or there. And slowly but surely, she falls. And that's what we have to say. Lomar lecha shekol orev chule shalosh tachshov shata lo tzarich lefachay mizeh. Kol achad chayav v'fachev lezaher leval kakel v'ken yesh lidor tatzva. When a person sees this state, they have to realize that seeing this has an impact on them. And when you see something like this and it has an impact on you, you immediately have to do something that's going to say, what am I going to do to make sure I'm not going to fall into that same situation? And a person can't say, well, it's not going to happen to me. You know, I'm immune from this. No. Nobody's immune from this. When you see something terrible, your reaction has to be, what can I do to safeguard myself from falling into the same trap? And this is what Chazal are teaching us. So when you see something like this, take steps. And in this case, it's taking steps to avoid wine. Again, going in the stream to come to the middle. Because everyone is affected by what they see around them. And everyone, it doesn't take long to fall into that slippery slope. When you see something, you should say, oh, that has nothing to do with me. A person sees something, you have no idea what ripple effect it's going to have. When you see something, learn. Similar to level one, and we'll see they're all interconnected to some degree, that you have to immediately say, whoa, what can I do to take steps to avoid this happening within me? The classic model of this, Rav Neiman Zatzal, Derchi Musar, points down in 25. Based on the Saba of Kelm, where he says, Ki af ha-nashim ha-mashchitim shasu ha-maisei ha-shchata, even people who do terrible things, lo b'pam achad higiu aleihem, they didn't wake up one morning and say, you know, I decided to be this terrible. There was a little seed which over time grew slowly and slowly. And therefore, a person may say, well, I would never do that. You're right. You would never do perhaps the end of the slippery slope. But how do you know you're not far away from the top of the slide? How do you know you're not about to go down that slide too? And that's what you have to see. When you see this woman, you shouldn't say, well, I would never come to this state. You're right. But did you come? Would you come to a state that will ultimately lead to this state? That's where the gedarim, that's where the fences come in. And he says, this is really, even though we're many months away from Purim, it's a nice word, this is where you have why Chazal instituted the mitzvot of Mishloach Manos Matanos Lavyonim. When you see a Haman who decides, I'm not only going to destroy one Jew, I'm going to destroy the entire nation. How could a person reach this level? You'll say, well, none of us could ever be a Haman. Whoa. We have to make sure that we never reach a level where we could potentially enter into that slide called the Haman. And therefore, we have to work on l'taken l'shaper mitopenei adam. That's the upshot of the lesson of the Purim story. See how low the mitos of a person can be and make sure that you don't come to this level. And therefore, Chazal instituted, give gifts to your friends, which is about honoring other people. Feel the tsar of chaveiro, help out another person, which is matanos lavyonim. Mipnei sheyesh ba'adam kol kach harbei min hara sho'olu lachriv olam malei bishvil nikiyah kala. We have so much negativity in us that who knows what it will take that a person's going to set you off in the wrong way, and you can start a great machloket and you can start a great tumult. We're not so far away from that. Work on being nice to people. Work on giving to people. That's the message of the Purim story, and that's the message of the Isha Sota. So idea number one is, if you saw it, there's a reason why you saw it. Idea number two is, whatever you see is going to impact you. And therefore, even though you may not be near the end, you may very well be near that garin, that seed, that is slowly, slowly, and may erupt one day. Therefore, set for yourself, siagim, set for yourself fences right away that you're able to protect yourself from falling down that slippery slope. You'll never reach a Haman. Make sure. Mishloach manos bataros lavyonim. Idea number 3. 26. Ish tamid. Hine, adam zek asher ro'eh sotabiku kula, bevadai ba'oto rega yesh lo hidarut atzuma. You could imagine. This was a miracle. You see it in front of your eyes. Whoa. You see, there's a reward and punishment. And you sin, you're going to be punished. Whoa, this is really impactful. You say, wow, I'm going to be better. I'm going to change. The Torah tells us that if you want this to last, and for a long time, you have to do something miyad, immediately, tomorrow is Amalek. Take upon yourself a Kabbalah right away. And it's interesting that we read Parshas Naso right after Shavuos, almost every year, with some exception, but generally it's right around Shavuos time, right before, right after. Because that's the lesson of Shavuos. Shavuos, we're all, right, we're excited. We had 49 days to prepare for it, and Kabbalah Satorah Be'ava, and we were kli to accept Torah, and we're on fire, Mamet Har Sinai, it's amazing. And you say, you know what, my Avodas Hashem, it's going to change, it's going to be better. And then you have the tomorrow. By tomorrow, you've already lost it. Hey, Shavuos, you say, I'm going to take upon myself to learn X amount. I'm going to learn two halachas a day of Shavuos Lashon. I'm going to learn an aliyah of the parsha. Whatever you decide to take on, you're going to be mechazik yourself in learning and tehillim. And you say, when am I going to start? Tomorrow. You know what happens tomorrow? I just don't have time. Shavuos was so hectic. I have laundry to do, and I have this to do, I have that to do. I have so many errands. It was a 3-day yamtif for some people. Like, oh, I give out 2-day yamtif for others. I don't have time. You've lost it. The Yisaurus, the awakening has to be immediately. This is, in fact, if we move for a moment to Source 32, the Mishkat Shemin brings down this famous Ramban on the Pasuk. Im te'iru vim te'arua ta'avad she'techbats. That when a person has this Yisaurus min ha'shamayim, when a person has a feeling of an awakening, it's a gift from heaven. And you have to immediately make a chefetz b'kli ha'maisa. You have to immediately do something in the practical world so that his aurus, that awakening is tangible. It has long-term effect. If you don't grab it right away, it's like, you know, one of those bubbles that the kids blow. If you don't freeze it, then it's just going to dissipate. It's going to disappear. That any his aurus, a gift from Shammai, the fact that you feel this way, is wow. Now do something with it. It's a gift that you have to concretize this gift. Again, you have to take that fire and make for it a candle and do something immediately to be able to make it yours. The classic example of this, if you go back to the previous page in 26 through 28, is Yisro. Pasuk says, Vayishma Yisro, and it's again not by accident that this is the Parsha Mamet Har Sinai, is Yisro. Vayishma Yisro, Yisro heard, Mashmua Shamova, what did he hear? Your Kriyas Yamsuf and Muhammad Amalek. And the obvious question is, well, doesn't it say in the Pasuk, he heard it called Sher Salukim of all that Hashem did take him out of Egypt? Why does Rashi have to ask, or Chazal, what did he hear? He heard Kriyas Yamsuf and Muhammad Amalek. And the answer that this firm gives is a very classic answer. He heard the two together. He heard Kriyas Yamsuf, where the people were frightened. The Kriyas Yamsuf described, Namogo Koishveknan, everyone is melting, everyone is in fear. And then he hears, Amalek comes, and they say, we're impervious to this, you can hear and not be affected. When he heard, how a person, people, nations can be, you know, standing in trepidation, and one nation says, oh, who cares? And they're not affected by this. He realizes that just having that fear, just hearing, if you're not going to concretize and do something, it's not going to be long-lasting fear. And you see this by the nations in 28, by Mamet Har Sinai, right? They think that the Mubbles coming to the world, or some type of destruction coming to the world, and they went to Bilam, and they said, what's going on? And he says, Hashem is giving this treasure to the Jewish people. And how does the Medrash end? The Dad in 28, Shekhesh Baruch Hu Noten Torah Alam Yisrael, Avaz Zalo Yaspik, and Rutsat Chayim V'Shavotam, doesn't really affect them. V'lzeh Patchu Kulam, V'amru Hashem Yivarech Adam Ova Shalom, let them be blessed with peace. V'lanu Yitzen Ogei Klau, but for us, it doesn't really matter to us. Upanu Ish Ish L'Darko. They saw, they were able to witness how the world is changing, and how this is a kind of a cosmic event. Okay, that's nice. And they're not affected by it. Vayishma Yitro, Mashmua Shama Uva. That has to be the Parsha Mamet Har Sinai, has to be the lesson. We spoke about this at length in the past. This has to be the lesson for us. When you hear something, when you experience something, for sure when you see something, the His Orus, the awakening, has to be an immediate awakening. And as the Orestes Fatenu says in 31, Lo Hamidrash Huaykar Ela Maisa. It's not just enough to sit there and, you know, oh, was that fascinating? I can't believe that happened, and just talk about it. Lo Hamidrash Huaykar Ela Maisa. Do something about it. Ki Lo Daibi Diasich Li Velgam Lo Belimud Musar Yoni. It's not just enough when something happens to you that really shakes you to the core to just talk about it and say, well, it was an amazing event. Gaval Shavuos was, you know, so tremendous. And to learn Musar, no. Kol Akara Vitarut Ruchani Matzricha Pula Masit Shetikbat Akara Bimkei Halev. What are you going to do to concretize this feeling? Lelot Tzadim Masim, without doing something concretely, Alulim Rigashot Teitarut Lafok L'Rigashot Tzrak, they can turn into empty feelings. V'Yiterah, and worse, that this intellectual knowledge can be more harmful than good. The way the Sifte Chaim L'Tit Chal Yom quotes based on Rav Dessler in 30, it's a great imagery. Imagine you have a, how do we describe this? You have a spring, right? And there's something on top of the spring. So you push down the spring and you hold it down. He said, that's imagery, is like you have a Yisorus, you have an awakening, that you are going to capture the Yetzirah, and you have it down. But if you don't do something concrete to keep this down. If you don't take on a Kabbalah that I am going to do X, Y, and Z, and in that way I'm sure that I am going to have a hold on this spring, what's going to happen if you let go? What's going to happen if you say, ah, you know, I really should do, and you've grabbed that Yetzirah, right? The Yetzirah that says don't learn. The Yetzirah that says that don't implement. The Yetzirah says just talk about it. And you say, no, I have Yetzirah, I've been awakening, I'm going to do something. And you hold down that spring. And then you don't do anything. What happens? You take your hand away, and we all know the nature of a spring. Shoo! It goes even higher. And the Yetzirah is going to be even greater. And this person sees a sota in this state, it shakes them to their core. Immediately act. Immediately just don't talk about it. You've been affected by something. You have to be able to take concrete action. 34. If you want to try to overcome negativity just by analyzing it, without doing something, you're going to come to be doing all these crazy things. Action is what is needed. Eliyahu Sorach, the asterisk back in 31, lead makay b'chizuk ruchani ma'asi, shirak b'kocho nitan likvo rikshei darud l'orach yamim v'shanim. That is where we have to be very careful to act. And that, my friends, is really the message of Shavuos. Or any time we have a Soros, any time we have an awakening, we have to be able to do something on a concrete level. We call this a Kabbalah. And the Kabbalah could be something so small, really small, right? Better under the radar. Doing something that's going to make sure and ensure that I've taken that feeling of Shavuos and I've concretized it, right? I've taken on to focus on one word in Birkas HaTorah that we spoke about before Shavuot. I'm going to think about the word Vaharevna. I'm going to think about Satzaina. Whatever it is, that's already a Kabbalah. That's taking that Shavuos and concretizing it. If we take this idea one step further, my friends, we have a gewaltig insight at Rashtavi. He says, yes, of course you have to, anytime you have Yisorus and awakening, to concretize it. But there's something specific about this case which we don't find in other cases, where there is a must. And that's why we don't have in other areas. You see something, you have to take on a Kabbalah. You could say this is a Binyan Av. This is to learn a paradigm for all cases. Good. Or you could say that there's something specific about here. And that's what the Drash Tavi says, is that there's a specific aspect here that we dafka learned it from here. And what is that? So he says, we know in 34 that when Klal Yisrael were in Egypt, they were not allowed, the night of Yetziat Mitzrayim, they were not allowed to leave their homes. Why? Hashem was coming down to destroy the Egyptians, and they weren't worthy of seeing the manifestation of God's punishment, similar to the wife of Lot, who looked back and saw, Hashem Beit Dino punishing. You're not on a level to see God coming down in his, you know, entourage to punish, and therefore she turned into a pillar of salt. So we suggest the examination of the Sota 34 in the asterisk can be explained as another function of this principle. The suspected woman is both examined and punished by means of the honor of the Shechina itself. When the exclusive name of Hashem on the Sota parchment is erased in the water, this represents the ascent of the Shechina into the world, so to speak. The Shechina comes to the world for a purpose of paramount importance, restoring peace between a husband and wife. The spiritual level of the accused woman and her right to continue in existence are tested by placing her in close proximity to the name of Hashem. She is brought to the Mishkan, made to drink the water in which the name of Hashem was erased. If she was indeed sinned, she will not be able to remain alive after ingesting the water in which Hashem's name was erased. As a result, a terrible punishment emanating from divine attribute of justice is automatically visited upon her. On the other hand, a sota, who is found innocent, receives a bracha, not as reward for an act of virtue, but because of the very presence of Hashem's explicit name in the water that she drank. Since the water which Hashem rested enters her body, she automatically becomes purified and subject to divine blessing. Thus, we conclude that the unique treatment of the sota is not a function of the principles of reward and punishment. Rather, it's a direct result of the fact that the Shechina rests upon the water which she drinks. Now we can understand the Chazal's injunction that when a person receives the disgrace of a sota, should take a vow of abstinence from wine. When someone witnesses Hashem revealing himself in the world with a conduct of judgment, a revelation that is sufficient to cause the death of a woman who has sinned, it becomes incumbent on him to elevate himself, to strengthen his own spiritual standing, and to disassociate himself from anything that could lead to sin. We can suggest this understanding is implicit in Chazal's word. Because a person who sees a sota in her disgrace, they make no such demand of a person who merely hears about such an incident or is otherwise informed of it. According to our thesis, it's because it's a person's actual presence and such a revelation of Shekhinah that requires he sanctify and elevate himself. Every single person experiences countless episodes, the asterisk at the end of 35, over the course of his life in which he witnesses a revelation of Hashem's providence upon himself or upon others around him. At such times, a person must realize it is incumbent upon him to disassociate himself from the slightest trace of sin, to raise his own spiritual level so that it's in consonance with the phenomenon he has witnessed. My friends, let's summarize what we see now, and we have two more ideas, Gevaldic ideas to go. One, why is it that a person has to stay away from sin? The answer is whatever you see has a reason why you've seen it. Why you had to be in the Beis Hamikdash at this time, you have on some level. Even the Kohen Gadol on his level, like the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, wasn't a Chilul Shabbos, it had something to do with, you know, being silent when a Talmid Chacham was being mistreated. Every person who sees this, there's a reason why they see this, and they have to realize that they have to begin to work on themselves and improve themselves. Level one. Level two. Whatever we see, we have to realize impacts us. And it doesn't happen overnight. And we have to realize that if we don't take the necessary precaution, we also may fall down the slippery slope. You may not be on a level of a Haman, but you may be near the top. Take yourself away from the thing that was the slippery slope of this woman. Too much wine. This will ensure that you don't land in the same place she landed. That's the second idea. The third idea is that when you have an awakening like this, when you see something so incredible like this, and the addendum Drashtavi says is really, you see Hashem in front of your eyes, you have to respond. And the response can't be an intellectual response, it has to be a practical response. Zekeli vaveu siftechayim adds, you see Hashem, Zekeli, this is your God, vaveu, inalufanav mitzvos. Beautify him in mitzvos. Do something on a practical level. You were inspired on Shavuos. Do something that's going to concretize that inspiration. 4 and 5. Listen to this. Mishkat Shemen, source 36. The grief, Levi Mibris points out, Pasuk tells us that Tirut Shikutseihem Vekulehem Pen Yishbechem Ish V'chule Shelvo Poneh Hayom. The Chumash tells us if you see them worshipping a Vodazara, make sure you don't follow in their ways. Of course you won't follow the ways. You see how despicable there is. He says no. He says when a person sees something, even if it's something terrible, once you see it, you've opened up the possibility for you to enter into that world. If you hear about a gunner, a thief that went in and stole something, even though he gets caught, in your mind you say, oh, maybe I could steal. The Sharei Chaim echoes this. Let's take a look. Lamanu mikan davar nifla b'kochon nefesh. We learned something incredible about the human psyche. Adam ha-re'achet, etzem ha-re'iyah, the fact that you see something, mikarevet oto el-achet, this is counterintuitive, but listen closely, brings you closer to the sin. Even if you saw the punishment. Vazbera davarhu, and the reason for this, next page 39, last page, Shaderech hatova b'ducha limana min achet, hikasher achet hu etzlo davar nimna shelo yitachen liyoklal. You want to know a way of ensuring you don't sin? It's not even the realm of possibility. You can't even imagine that you could even possibly do this. When you think it's an impossibility, then you're not going to do it. But when you see someone else sin, you somehow become closer to the sin, which then needs greater protection. But my friend brings this idea down from Rav Yaakov Weinberg, where he says, Should the image of a sota disintegrate upon drinking the sota water be seared upon its memory, providing with spiritual immunity from further sin? Why should a person need to become a nasir as a barrier to sin? Rabbi Ruxal answers that the healthiest way to avoid sin is to be so far removed from it that it never enters the realm of possibility in our minds. Seeing someone else sin, or even pay the price for their sins, moves the possibilities a little bit closer to us. The sin just seems more doable now that we know someone else has done it. One of the dangers of living in such an open society is that when we witness others transgressing or even hear about it, our own levels of kedusha, of holiness, are diminished. We may begin to entertain the thought of engaging in acts that lack kedusha. A person who witnesses a sota thoughtful must proactively counteract the spiritual weakness it introduces into his psyche by vowing not to drink wine, which can cause a person to act frivolously and eventually lead to sin. You know, you see this as well in a source that we skipped that we'll just take a peek at for a moment. The L'Titchel Yonah, source number 23, brings this down from Rav Simcha Zissel of Kelm. And he says, you know, if you see a rich person sitting and, you know, living the lap of luxury, you say, this is life. And when you see something, it enters into your mindset. He says, this is, in the asterisk in 24, the Al-Chet Shechatanu Lefanecha Betima On Levav. When we wonder about these things in life, and we say, oh, maybe I should try to do this. Maybe it's not so bad. These are the things that happen when we expose ourselves to almost anything. Listen to this story. Even the greatest tzaddikim are well aware of the damage of being exposed to sin and take measures to fight it. Source 43. Radin, where the Chafetz Chaim lived, was a tiny hamlet that had no Chilul Shabbos whatsoever. Until World War I, when the Chafetz Chaim was already in his mid-70s, he never witnessed someone desecrate Shabbos. Can you imagine? When the battlefront encroached on Radin during World War I, the entire population of the village picked up and moved into the interior of Russia for the duration of the war. The first Shabbos Chafetz Chaim was to exile from Radin. Was the first Shabbos he saw desecrated, and the sight made him break him down into copious tears. The next week, when the Chafetz Chaim experienced Chilul Shabbos again, he cried for even longer than he had the previous Shabbos. We understand why he cried so much last week, the people who were with him said, witnessing Chilul Shabbos for the first time was a dramatic experience, and you were so shocked by it you cried. But by this week, you should have expected it already. Why'd you cry at all? And moreover, why'd you cry with more intensity than that last week? First time I saw another Jew violate the Holy Shabbos, replied the Chafetz Chaim. I was crying for the problem itself. This week, it didn't hurt me nearly as much, and that's why I cried even more. I am concerned that I've become callous towards Shabbos because I've fallen from my own spiritual level, and I no longer feel Hashem's pain when His children desecrate Shabbos. Last week, I was crying for Shabbos, summarized Chafetz Chaim. This week, I'm crying for myself. Rabosa, this is such an important lesson for us. A person who sees another sinning, and in today's world we're exposed to such transgressions with frightening frequency, must realize they have become vulnerable. Those sins no longer seem as distant and as undoable as they were before. Although we may not have the Nazirus vows today, when our spiritual firewalls are breached by witnessing others sinning or even being disgraced by their sins, we must repair that breach immediately to prevent ourselves from becoming corrupt. And that, my friends, is the fourth lesson. That if I'm seeing something, I should know that I'm now one step closer to doing this. Because I know it's in the realm of possibility. Oh, drinking wine. That's an interesting idea. I never thought of drinking wine. Oh, let me see what the effects are. Even though you saw the sota, you now are able to enter into, wow, I never thought about this. And it brings it into the realm of possibility. And once it's in the realm of possibility, it's much easier to do. And that's why, when we see sinning all around us, we have to strengthen ourselves and realize when I see something that I've never dreamed of before, my reaction can't be, gee, I never thought of that before. But it has to be, oh no, I never thought about that before. What am I going to do to safeguard myself? The final idea. Let's flip it all around, my friends. Look at it completely different. And this will explain as well our last question of the kol of everyone. Notes of Mishchat Shemen and Gevaldik idea. We know There's a very famous idea that Klal Yisrael or Agudim u'muchadim zeh were interconnected. Ube'ofen shemasav shekol echad v'echad mehem eshvil l'klal kulo, and what I do impacts everybody else. That's the idea of arevos. And the mashal that he gives is if people are connected by a rope, and if one person falls, everyone else is going to come down with him. And he says, Lo'or Zod Haray 46, She'af im haro'et tasolta bekilkula hu ish tzadik v'yashar v'naki minaki urva domelo domem ara. A person could be the Kohen Gadol, could be somebody else who sees this. And he could, you're right, be an absolute tzadik. Perhaps it doesn't apply to him. Perhaps. But when he sees this, Avalachar sheyesh ben Kla Yisrael isha sheyar ruda plaim kokach adad yuta taftona. But when he witnesses this woman who has reached the bottom of the line, biyoter halose mechayev kolachad miyisrael fashrei shemaisav lachapes aim lo nimsa biyado rifayon upgam kolshi bechetze. You have to ask yourself, is there some area in my life that I have not been as careful as I should have been, and because of that ripple effect of arevos, this woman is acting the way she did? As a story, I don't know if it's Chazon Ish, one of Rav Shach, I don't remember who, was working with a student on Bnei Brak, and they came to the line where Ramat Gan and Bnei Brak meet. And he says, do you see their cars in Ramat Gan? Yeah, Mechalel Shabbos. He says, because we're not learning Torah enough that there are cars being Mechalel Shabbos. That there is a mutual responsibility that's going on, the butterfly effect, right? That causes a tsunami somewhere else. And therefore, V'lachein hiziru chachamenu zal lekabel av kabbalah tova sheidrakuk uprisha metayvas olam hazeh kedei litchazek lo shaper masav shel grom od kilkul zulat chas v'shalom. Why does a person have to take upon themselves this gedur of nazirus? Let's say they're a great tzaddik, because they're not only taking it on for themselves. They realize that if this could happen in Klal Yisrael, I have some level of responsibility. I, in my own life, have to introspect and see, where am I not holding up to par, that I am bringing the whole level of Klal Yisrael a bit down, that something like this could happen. So when a person sees a kol, every person who sees this has to feel this responsibility, that we're all responsible for one another. And if something like this could happen in Klal Yisrael, I shouldn't just shake my head and say, I give out. I can't believe that happened. Stop. Rather look inside and say, if this could happen, where am I making sure that Klal Yisrael are on the level they should be? Is my Avodas Hashem up to par? Am I not, on some small level, contributing to letting go of that rope that ultimately everybody is going to also let go and everyone's going to fall? If one person is holding it a bit tighter, it may hold everyone else in line. And it's a tremendous responsibility, I grant you that. But however, it underscores to us the beauty of Klal Yisrael, both for the negative as well as for the positive. How we hold each other up, how we build each other, how we're able to contain each other. So my friends, one small, not so small, Chazal is teaching us worlds of lesson. Everything we experience is tailor-made for us. Being able to recognize that just a small thing that we see impacts us, we have to create our fencer. We have to, when we have a sorrows and awakening, particularly of this magnitude, to be able to immediately take action, to do something in the concrete world. Be able to understand that anytime I see something, it brings me that one step closer. And ultimately, we have responsibility one for each other. And when something like this happens, I have to ask myself, what can I do to make this world a better place? What can I do to fix this world and be able to bring a greater amount of Kedusha, a greater amount of holiness, not only to myself, but to the entire Klal Yisrael?